It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I got a full show tonight, and as promised, you are going to meet Richard Schickel. He is a senior revenue officer with the IRS for 33 long years in Chicago and in Tucson. He retired in December 2013 and now runs RMS Consulting, along with some other retired IRS agents, auditors, and service center employees in Tucson. And yes, he absolutely can help you one-on-one, and we'll get you that information. But more to the point, as far as your general questions, well, tax day, you get a couple day reprieve this year is on Monday, the 18th of April, less than a week away. So, hopefully by now you're all squared away. But if you're not, this is the guy who can answer all your questions. Now, I will tell you that only one time in my career did I ever bodily throw someone out of my studio. Probably only one time, because usually I don't let them in. But in this case, this guy showed up and I literally escorted him out. And that was Erwin Schiff. He was the guy who claimed you did not have to pay taxes. And he got on the air to explain that you did not have to pay taxes. And it came up in the discussion that he went to jail for this. And I explained that jail was a four-letter word. And he contended that that didn't matter because you really didn't have to pay. That's not what this discussion is about. You've got to pay if you owe, but there are many things you can do. And if you owe a lot in particular, and maybe some back taxes, we'll talk about that as well. There's four books that Richard has written, and I've got links to all four of them on Raleigh.net. IRS Whistleblower, I was talking about that last night. I decided I'd dog-ear things that interested me, and now the damn book looks like an accordion. So we'll forget about that. It all interests me. What to do when the IRS is after you, why the IRS doesn't work anymore, and now is the best time ever to owe the IRS. Yeah, now that's good news. Maybe we'll start right there. In any event, 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, if you want to join in the frivolity or get your questions answered, I want to hear from you. And before we do that, I know if you listen to the show, you're a radio lover. So let me mention that the Sea Crane Company has a Wi-Fi internet radio that you will love. It's called the CC Wi-Fi 3, and here's why it's great. The audio is great. It's better than any smartphone in the world and a lot of other radios that size. It's got over 30,000 radio stations immediately accessible from not only all over the United States, but all over the world. You don't have to sign up for an app. There's no tracking. There's no microphone. There's no ads on the screen. There's no monthly fee. It's got a full-size remote control, and it's got great reception. Now, in this case, since we're talking Wi-Fi radio, we're not talking about AM or FM reception, but we're talking about your little wireless access point. You have a lot of devices that, man, you better be in the same room with it. Not this. You can darn near be in the driveway, and it's not a problem at all. So if you've got wireless access in your home, this will work. Now, if you love radio, then the CC Wi-Fi 3 is just terrific. As I've said many times, had they had this device in 1959, I would have never left my room. That's right. They throw meat under the door and I'd be happy because there was so much I wanted to hear. Maybe there's a little less now, but in a way, that's why Wi-Fi radio is even better, because if there's nothing close to you that you want to hear at any given time, you turn on that Wi-Fi radio, you'll find something somewhere that will float your boat. You can go online, ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. It's a great catalog, not only great products, but great information, and you can see the CC Wi-Fi 3, read all about it. If you can't go online for any reason, give them a call. You can order by phone. 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-TUNE or ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
I'm going to send it my 1044. I'm going to get my refund. I might lie a little bit, think all that money I'm gonna get? Cause I'm old and I'm poor, and I'm gonna need me something to rest my soul. To the blood bank, Red Cross too. To my wardrobe, my Cadillac too. The money I wasted mad my wife, money I lost in divorcing her, plus the fortune she spent on a tea party, will all be on my form 1040.
Income tax evasion,
you better pay.
Income tax evasion,
oh, home of the love.
Yeah. Yeah. Income tax evasion.
On line one, I leave out the money I made off bootleg slaves. On 3 and 4 and 5, I'll have to put down a few more lies. Cause the money I made in dividends and the money I got through trickery will stay right in the middle of my palm, cause it won't go on my 1040 form.
WGN Radio. Don't try this at home. Yeah, that's the Jesse James Singers, 1964 on Bit Records. And can you imagine why it wasn't a hit? All right, so one of these books from Richard M. Schickel is Now is the Best Time Ever to Owe the IRS. So, Richard, welcome to WGN Radio. And I got to ask you, why?
Is this Raleigh James?
Well, live and in the flesh. Is this Richard Schickel?
Yeah, I'm an Internal Revenue Service revenue officer from the Internal Revenue Service, and I want to ask you some questions about some things you put on your tax return.
Well, I don't think I could.
Wait, I'm sorry, I retired from that job.
Yeah.
But that's what I did. Did that make you feel good when I asked you that? Because it doesn't usually.
Well, my first question is: will they actually ever call you and ask you that? I expected I'd get a letter.
You always get letters. You always get letters, and they scare you, and then in the end, a guy just like me comes out, knocks on your door, cold calls, and it's about fear. It's about fear and control, and so that's when I retired. I thought, wait a minute, the system shouldn't run like this. This is our government, you know. So I wrote books calling for the IRS to respond to the taxpaying public with better services, better computer, things like that.
Yeah. Now, speaking of better computer, when you wrote one of your books at the time, you said it was a 63-year-old antiquated system. Is it still?
Right. The IRS master file is a IBM 370. It runs on basic COBOL and Fortran.
Oh, my God.
And it's very secure because there's no online access to it. We still run the what is it, the 8-inch discs?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's so hard to believe. And in a way, it's like, well, that's good, it's secure. And then the other thing I'm thinking is, wait a minute, that means the agents can't possibly access this at a distance.
Right. It's still very difficult. So what they did, they broke the computer because the big computer doesn't work for what we need it for. So they broke the computer systems for all the different IRS employees into 146 separate computer systems.
No.
Which just makes it even more complicated.
Now, are there 146 different passwords?
Yeah. I mean, no one person. Usually you'd have like 30, about 30 passwords.
Oh, my God.
If you're a collection officer or a revenue agent or an auditor. It's just crazy.
Now, I assume by the time it gets to a collection officer, things have already gone terribly wrong. So it starts, I guess, with that infamous letter of some type.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And then if you answer that letter, I assume you will, thank God I haven't gotten one, but I will assume they will answer back, that they're not sending someone to the house for somebody who's actually responding.
It depends. If you owe more than $100,000 or lately more than $250,000, they'll still send somebody out.
Well, yeah. But that, thank God, that's a very few people. But you're right about the IRS running on fear. And the average person, I would assume, has very little to worry about, especially if you're a working stiff and the taxes are coming right out of your paycheck anyway. There's probably very little you could do wrong. Or am I wrong?
No, that was actually the basis for the business, that normal taxpaying wage earner people or self-employed people, they shouldn't have to pay an accountant or a CPA or a lawyer to help them prepare their taxes, because in many cases the IRS already knows how much you earned. So that was the basis for why I wrote the first book, The IRS Whistleblower. And the reason that we don't have a system like that is thanks to Henry and Richard Block of H&R Block Company. They're both dead now, but they figured that they would not make any money off taxes if the IRS just automatically assessed taxes like they do in England. So, and that kind of started everything.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because, of course, over the years, you've had a number of people run for office who have promised that they're going to simplify the tax code, and it seems that every time they simplify it, it gets more complex.
Right, right. Well, actually, there was, I used to work in Illinois from Chicago out to the Mississippi River, from Wisconsin down to Peoria, and driving around in snowstorms, and there was one, we won't say which, western suburb. I go out to this attorney's office, and he's running for Congress, and he offers me a bribe. And so then the next time I came back with a listening device strapped on my back, which in those days was as big as a box of Kleenex,
right.
I come out, and he pats me down, and then he doesn't follow up with the bribe overture. And he actually got a lot of votes. But I mean, that's the kind of people that apparently are drawn to go into Congress, people with maybe less than high moral fiber.
Well, of course, what's frightening about that is it's Congress, not the IRS, that makes the tax code. And of
right.
course,
and Congress is actually the one who's the organization that's responsible for crippling the IRS. And everybody would say, wow, that's great, a weak IRS. That's great for us, but it's not, because that's one of the basic functions of government to assess and collect taxes. And the two books that I wrote last year, Now is the Best Time Ever to Owe the IRS and Why the IRS Doesn't Work Anymore. Right now, the IRS has 75,000 employees. 20,000 of them are part-time or temporary. You know, we bring them in during the filing season. And then 52,000 people, 52,000 out of 75,000 can retire in the next 5 years. So I was alarmed at that. I'm sure you're alarmed too, Shelley. Like, what's going on? Maybe we should have some people collecting taxes, because I pay taxes. I assume you pay taxes. So it's not fair. And that comes from Congress, directly from Congress.
I think one of the things that has eroded public confidence more than anything are the stories when they come out where there are targeted audits, audits because a group has a political leaning, something of this nature. Now, it's not new recently in the last decade or so. It's come up more often, but I think that's probably been part and parcel early on. And when you hear those stories that people are being targeted because of whatever, fill in the blank, whether it's their political views or their ethnic heritage or you name it, that sort of makes you say, gee, I'm sorry, it's 75,000. I wish it was 75.
Right, right. And that's in the first book that I wrote, The IRS Whistleblower, I told all the secrets. I told how the IRS thinks. And even if you come in with a blank check and want to cooperate, they want to look at you like you're a dirtbag. And they want to say, why do you owe this money? You're a bad person. What does that have to do with anything? The IRS is a collection agency. Act like that. Don't be the moral arbiter for America's tax population, you know? So, I don't know. It was just anger that propelled me to write these books, I guess.
Oh, and they're great. They're great books. They're full not only of anecdotes and interesting insight, but also some real survival strategies as well. So they're just terrific as far as as that goes. But when you know, recently in the last year, you had the current administration talking about, and we're going to add 80,000 IRS agents. Of course, so far they haven't figured out exactly how to do that. But that for most people was not comfortable. That was fearsome, because again, so often it's been used, and granted it's probably not most cases, but it's the publicized cases, to target people for specific reasonings. Is there any hope that activity will stop?
My hope, and that's exactly what happened, we were target groups of people that we wanted to go after. We could talk about, well, no, I can't talk about that, but let's talk about political systems in Chicago. How many times has the IRS gone after the politicians in Chicago? I've been in this business 40 years, and I know about 20 years before that. They've always tried to go after somebody, and who was just convicted, it was a daily. And you're going to find something if you keep going back to, back and back and back to Chicago politicians. And it's unfair to presume that they are doing something wrong, So.
But is yeah. there any movement to stop that?
Well, the best part is that old people like me are retiring. So that the vendetta, and I write about that in the books. I had one group manager who said, "Shoot them all and let God sort them out." When we're out taking people's houses and bank accounts.
Oh God!
Not a lot of compassion there. And I was as bad as everybody else the first half of my career. And then I had a revelation that I had a huge amount of power, and I didn't need to use it to bully people and bring them down to their knees. I needed to be a human being dealing with a human being who had obviously some issue, because you don't rack up $1 million with the IRS if you're thinking clearly,
So. I assume there's only two ways to get in trouble here. One is you're lying about your income, or the other is you're lying about your expenses. And I would think if you lied about your income, this was going to be much worse for you. Am I right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so since most of this is fairly discernible, and when you're talking about the multi-million dollar individuals, no, they're not, going to work and getting a W-2 or anything. They're in fact in business for themselves. But even so, what I don't understand is why they think they're going to continually get away with it.
Well, what's happened throughout the United States, like right now there's one revenue officer, one person like I was, that works the entire state of Alaska for collection. There's one auditor in the entire state of Alaska. Many states, Arizona used to have 400 IRS employees. It's got from what I've heard, about 170, which you would say that's a good thing, but it's not a good thing if the rich people are getting away with not paying any taxes. I mean, we're in a box. If we're earning W-2s and I earn a W-2 out of my business, I know. I mean, it's right there. It's right there what I earned, and the government knows it. But with the idea of the audit function is to say, okay, we trust you, but we're watching you. So we want to just see, you put these things on the return. How are they real? And it's a huge deal.
Now that's where you start to say, gee, maybe I'm glad it's an old IBM 370 or something. But in terms of the way they go about this, as we say, the people who have their W-2s, how much money's there. But for people who are independent contractors or business owners or corporate executives who aren't drawing a quote unquote salary, how does the IRS determine who am I going to go after?
It's much better than it used to be. We were encouraged during my career, which started in 1981. If you heard somebody in a restaurant talking negatively about the IRS, stick around, see what their license plate number is, and write it down, and then investigate them. So we're making a lot more progress. They don't do that anymore. So they're not
good to hear.
To do that anymore.
Good to hear.
But you run into a lot of problems with people that are selling something. They're selling something online, and they're collecting through Square or PayPal. And now, because everything more than $600 in 1099 has to be reported, then a lot of people are really waking up this year. Like, I didn't know that they were going to report that $120,000. It's like, well, Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I know people personally who, yes, they do a lot of business through PayPal, and now that they heard that the threshold went from about $20,000 a year to down to $600 a year for all income, they're apoplectic about this, when in fact many of these people don't even understand that they probably have a good basis in the goods they were selling. The actual dollars can be explained in a myriad of ways. It's probably not pure profit, but most people are grossly unaware of this. We're talking to Richard M. Schickel, and IRS whistleblower. Now is the best time ever to owe the IRS. Why doesn't the IRS work anymore? And what to do when the IRS is after you are the four books. I've got links on Raleigh.net. If you've got specific questions, since tax time is Monday, that's, yeah, for most of us, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Yep, yep, yep. Silver, we spend it in town, because all of my money hasn't really turned brown. Because
we live for the poorhouse, baby.
It's a strange,
just strange as it may sound.
But we live for the poorhouse, with all my money turned brown.
Yip, 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 yip.
Well, I remember, baby, long time ago, had so much money, it was laying on the floor. We had a pony, a car, and wasn't way up on top. But things has changed, we really got to stop. Because
we're in for the poorhouse, baby.
It's strange,
just strange as it may sound.
But we're in for the poorhouse, cause all my money turned bright.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, those are the silhouettes, the guys that did get a job, then they were heading for the poorhouse, 1958 on Ember, and no, of course it didn't chart. And we're talking a moment ago, and we're talking with, by the way, with Richard Schickel, and I will get you all his contact information too, but if you go to Raleigh.net, you can get links on all four books, and every one of them is loaded with gems. If people would spend the amount of time that they spend trying to defraud the IRS with using the system to their advantage, that may be a real way to pay less taxes. Now, Richard had mentioned, and that was interesting to me, that H&R Block is the group that came up with the idea of you need a tax professional. But I've always thought, Richard, that you needed a tax professional because in the event of the audit, you wouldn't have to go. Are you with me?
Yourself, because the IRS person, and this was me too, we were trained to be the friendliest, best person in the world. And when what we were doing, we were pumping information out to people. And then you start talking about how you not only have your little business, but you have that house up at Lake Geneva, and you like to go to the Bahamas, and you talk, mm-hmm. and you brag, and you pull out your kids' pictures, and that's where you run into trouble. So it's always good to have a tax professional for an audit.
Yeah, I would think so as far as that goes. But the other side of that is a lot of people say, I got the best tax guy. I pay almost nothing. I assume that the IRS has a list. And if you are having your taxes prepared by certain people, that's more likely to be an audit flag.
That's correct. And right now I was just looking at somebody down on 103rd Street who miraculously could make up charitable donations and business expenses and fictitious businesses, and I told my client, who I picked up from this lady, I said, this is all fraudulent. You're going to get in really big trouble. And she was angry, and I was angry too, because there's a lot of terms for tax professionals. And if a person doesn't, a tax preparer does not sign the tax return or does not let you see the tax return before filing it, they're probably not doing something legal.
And a number of people, the most infamous in the last several years was Willie Nelson, and the millions and millions and millions due to tax debt from supposed things that would be allowed that turned out not to be allowed. He had to pay the debt, not the tax preparer.
Right, and then he did a program called Offer and Compromise, where the IRS said, hey, this is how much he can actually pay. Now he's made a huge amount of money after that, but at the time it seemed to be a good call. And it was a person like me who evaluated that down in Texas and said, let's get this money. He's old. he's got some bad habits, and let's get the money out of him while we can. And then I think he did a concert that benefited the Internal Revenue Service, that the money came into the Treasury. And what I would advocate, I just want to make a point to this. Everyone should have a Schedule C business, which is a sole proprietor business where you're selling something, you're giving some service to people, because the Internal Revenue Service expects that a new business will probably, not always, but probably lose money the first 3 years that it's in business, right? You have to, you buy your supplies, get your cards and your computer and your telephone, and you have a lot of expenses. And then at the end of the year, maybe you lost $10,000 on your little business. But then if you had $10,000 in income, that offsets it. So then the $10,000 loss offsets the $10,000 wages that you had. And times are hard and getting harder, and we need to look at strategies, because the tax law changes in 2017, let's face it, they really helped wealthy people, and they didn't really do much for
the rank and file.
A regular taxpayers.
Yeah, right. Right. Now, Schedule Cs are interesting, of course, because depending on what you are claiming in expenses, they can be the biggest audit target in history. People who are claiming home offices, for instance, things like that. You really need somebody to help you go through in terms of what you're putting on that Schedule C.
Right. And definitely, at least when you're setting up the business, you want to talk to a person like me or a CPA or a tax lawyer. Tax lawyers are not really much good for anything but filing lawsuits against the IRS. So I would go with the CPA. I'm an enrolled agent, which means I'm licensed. My license comes from the IRS. So, there's a lot of tricks. You have to set up your businesses properly so that you're taking advantage of the law. Because a lot of people actually have a client now who he's 55 years old. He's been self-employed for roughly about 35 years. He's never paid into Social Security.
Okay.
And excuse me. And I pointed out to him, I said, one day you won't be able to work and you won't get any Social Security, or you'll get some minor benefit, $500 or something. So maybe you need to start having less expenses and actually paying taxes like everybody else.
Well, more than that.
He didn't agree with me on that point.
Well, more than that, the worst part is when people have avoided their FICA taxes and they find out they're not eligible for Medicare because they don't have enough quarters in there. And when you find out what your health insurance will cost you if you're not Medicare eligible, it's a ridiculously high number. So even if you're saying, I don't need the monthly Social Security benefit, chances are you need that Medicare benefit. And that's
huge. A lot of younger people under the age of 35 are just sure that they're way too young to need Social Security.
Well, they're gonna need Medicare.
Nice, but it's a fantasy, you know.
Well, right. Well, the problem, of course, and you know this so well, is that this is a great sleight of hand trick, because the government taxes you on your first dollar earned, and Social Security is on your first dollar earned, so you're actually double taxed.
Right, and I still think that's a crime. I mean, that they changed that. I guess that was under President Reagan, where they started charging you money for Social Security. You already paid that money in. It's your money. You're getting it back. Why would it be counted as income?
Well, there's
so... That's not nice. That's not nice.
Now, you mentioned Schedule Cs, and of course, for somebody who's got a lot of personal money coming in, that makes a lot of sense. But for someone who's self-employed, isn't incorporation the way to go?
If you're projecting to make less than $100,000, probably not. I mean, you want to start off as a Schedule C business, and then when the business starts going up between $100,000 and $250,000, then you would switch over into a corporate, LLC.
Oh, interesting. Now, that you mentioned LLC, which is a relatively new animal compared to, say C-Corps or even S-Corps. Are LLCs looked at in any particular way by the IRS?
No, I mean, the IRS is really so overwrought, overburdened now that a lot of the stuff they used to pick on, and I'm glad you brought that up, Raleigh, because the IRS is a paper tiger now, and it's really fierce, and it's got a reputation. The IRS, I think last year, did 200 property seizures, where they would take your house or your car. During my time, we did 12 to 15,000 seizures. I've done 100 seizures where I take cars and businesses and houses and other assets. I mean, so I know of places, I know of whole areas of the country where the IRS is not, they're not sending anybody out. And guess what? Neighbors talk to neighbors, and they say, hey, I haven't filed in 4 years. So then that gives you the idea, well, if Bob hasn't filed, maybe I'll stop filing. Yeah. And it's starting to really affect, I mean, pretty much everything that I've worked my whole life for, to promote voluntary tax compliance.
So. Yeah. No, I know. It's getting out of control, and again, it's misguided. And then you hear, and I will get to Sherry in Naperville. She's got questions for you, but so don't hang up, Sherry. But you hear all these advertisements now, advertisers, oh, we can stop your tax debt cold, and I assume these are offers for compromise, and I also assume that that's one thing that the IRS doesn't usually engage in doing.
Right. They only accept roughly 28% of those, and those companies usually... The first thing they want is your debit card, and then the next thing they want is between $3,000 and $10,000 to represent you. That's not to get you the offer; it's to do the same work I do for a lot less money, because they're feeding on fear. They're just as bad as the IRS. They're feeding on fear.
Absolutely. All right. So Sherry in Naperville. Let me get to Sherry here and figure this out. All right, Sherry, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I still got to file. I don't have to file because I don't owe anything, but because of all the stimulus things, and I wish they would do vouchers for mechanic repairs because of all the problems with, deliveries and everything, and all the prices have gone up. But anyway, that's what we need help with right now. But I did work for an accountant who was like my second family, you know, three blocks down, slumber parties, blah, blah, blah.
That Sherry, kind of could you speak up a little? And I can't quite hear you.
Oh, can you hear me better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Well, she worked for a corporation, then she started her own accounting agency in her home, in her kitchen, and whenever we were home from college, she'd say, come over and fill these out for us. And, I mean, her clients had businesses that were mostly food restaurants and other things, although a couple international
Okay, so what's the question?
Exporters, importers.
Give me the question.
I agree with you that not only do you need an accountant, but you need an accountant who is an enrolled agent because they can go before the IRS in lieu of you. That, I think, is very important so you're not stressed to death.
Right.
Another point I have to make.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it's a great idea. And your next point?
My next point is I have never understood, and I was an independent contractor, which now they call consulting. And I had to pay the other half of the...
FICA, Social Security, right?
Yes, the 7.5% dug out everything. But I don't understand why the maximum personal deduction, whatever that's called, is not at least per household, per person, $25,000.
Well, you got to ask Congress about that. Not Richard Schickel. See, that's the problem. It's not the IRS that decides that.
But in poverty, I mean, paying your taxes to in poverty.
Sherry, I agree. And there's a time and place for this discussion, but I've only got a couple minutes left. But believe me, the IRS cannot, in fact, affect those changes. That's where your congressman comes in. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. All right. So... 888-876-5593, but the time is moving by quickly, and I also want to get Richard Schickel's info in case you want to contact him as well. So, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio. WGN Radio. Well, as usual, I've hogged the mic long enough. We've only got about a minute left, so before I do anything else, for folks who are saying, I need an enrolled agent, Richard, how can they contact you?
Look up RMS Tax Consulting, LLC. And my phone number is 520-448-3531. And I just want to take a minute, Raleigh, to say I've always loved WGN and Wally Phillips and Orion Samuelson. I still miss his farm reports, yeah. But you are the greatest gift to WGN Radio. You're a radio legend, and I love your show.
Well, it's so kind of you to say. We need to talk again because when folks read your books, and I got all the links at Raleigh.net, two beneficial programs the IRS doesn't advertise is probably where we should start first, as well as the rule right. about 10 years back taxes. So we'll do it again, and thank you, Richard.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. All right, so 888-876-5593. I doubt I can answer your tax questions, but I'll spend the next 2 hours with you right here on WGN Radio.